Forever Established, Forever Remembered. That's the title of the sermon this afternoon. Forever Established, Forever Remembered. I don't need to tell you that time is always progressing. We know that. We know that by looking at our cell phones, our clocks, our watches. We know that by looking at our calendars. We know that as we think about the past, that is the past. It's gone. And as we progress through life, we seem to feel or it appears that time is moving ever faster. It's always progressing at the same rate. You can't stop it, even if you want to. We know that everything around us is changing constantly. Seasons change, circumstances change, we change. We change bodily, we change in the way in which we view things, we change in many ways. We're so very temporary on this earth, so very much a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. That's so evident in life, especially as we get towards the latter stages of it. But in contrast to this, God is not bound by time in any way. We heard of that from our call to worship in Psalm 90. Before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. It's difficult for us to conceive of a being who is outside of time, a being who has created time itself, and yet that is both the reality and the reality that God reveals in his word. The word translated everlasting in Psalm 90 literally means a very, very long period of time that never ends. And in our text this evening from the Lamed or L section of Psalm 119, the 12th letter of the Hebrew alphabet, we find the L letter is something that can be stuck on the front of another word in Hebrew, meaning, and the letter L when it's done, that means for. And so in this section of the psalm, that word there, forever, is the Hebrew letter L, for, stuck on the front of the Hebrew word everlasting, which is translated forever. Forever your word is fixed firmly in the heavens. And then again, if you have your Bible open, you'll notice in verse 93 there, about halfway through that section, we read, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have given life. And again, that first word is the word in Hebrew, forever. And so the title of this sermon comes from those two verses, verses 89 and 93. Forever established, God's word, forever remembered by the child of God. And so your word is fixed forever is our first point, and your child is saved forever, the second point. And so firstly, the Lord's word is fixed forever. And so as we've said, and again, you don't need me to tell you this, time passes moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day. And we get out of bed at the start of every day, ordinarily. And an amazing thing happens when you get out of bed. You may not have thought about this before. But when you get out of bed, you put your feet on the floor and you stand up, and gravity works, just like it did yesterday. Amazing. And the reason we don't particularly think it's amazing is because, well, it's always been like that. The sun rises. If there's no cloud, you can see it, but we know it rises every morning. Why are night and day so regular? They have been throughout my life and throughout the history of this world. Why does the earth keep rotating around the sun at a constant rate, which it does? Why does the universe continue to function the way it does? Why do the laws of physics apply as much today as they did yesterday and the day before? These are actually questions that people who don't know God don't really have an answer to. But we do, because we know God. The reason that all these things happen the way they do is because God faithfully and carefully regulates and governs his creation. His word controls this creation from beginning to end. From the vast galaxies in outer space that the psalmist in Psalm 8 describes as the work of his fingers. they're just a small thing, but they're a big thing. Describing the power of God, the moon and the stars that you have ordained. To the smallest of creatures, not a sparrow, a tiny bird falling to the ground apart from the will of God, who sovereignly controls and maintains everything as it is. And so the psalmist must have gone to bed, and got up one morning, and he wrote about this enduring reality of God's word. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It doesn't change. Your faithfulness continues throughout all generations. It's been like that in my life, and it was like that in my dad's life and my granddad's life and so on through all generations. You established the earth. You set it the way it is, and it stands. They stand this day according to your ordinances. For all things are your servants, whether the vast galaxies are the fingers of God put in place or the tiniest, tiniest organism. All these things are fixed by God's word. And so for the psalmist, the word of God was this anchor, this solid, firmly fixed base. And that's true for us too. The word of God is fixed. But we know more than the psalmist knew back when these words were written. We know that it was through Christ that this creation came into being, that he is before all things. He is eternal. We know that Jesus Christ, the Word in flesh, confirmed the enduring quality of his word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. And so again, we shouldn't be surprised at this, because Christ himself is everlasting, and he is the Word. And he, the resurrected Christ, will never die. And so this is the Jesus who's gone to prepare a place for us. And he'll be there when we go there, when this life of ours, which is just like a vapor, is over. But now we experience this fragile, troublesome creation of which we're a part. We age, we weaken, we decay, and we return to dust. We suffer pains of body and soul. And the psalmist, just like us, knew trouble. He's experiencing the sharp end of the groaning creation in the psalm. In verse 42 earlier, he's been taunted by other people. There's pressure on him from proud and insolent people. He's slandered. He's been wronged for falsehoods that, well, wronged by falsehoods. His name's been trashed. And now, as we heard last week, the persecution against him has reached a critical point. The arrogant have dug pits for me, men who are not in accord with your law. The ungodly have tried to trap him like an animal captured in some carefully concealed pit in the ground. They've persecuted me with a lie, he writes in verse 86. The attacks were not so much physically violent, they were worse, they were verbal. And we heard about this again last week. They have almost destroyed me on the earth. He feels like he's just about at the end. He's at the limit of that endurance. He's at the end of his tether. And there, right in the middle of this psalm, it is the word of God which comes to him, which brought him up from that feeling of being like a wineskin in smoke. If your Lord not be my delight, verse 92, if your Lord not be my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. He knows that he's been delivered by this powerful word of God, the same word that put the galaxies up there and created all of the detail and intricate design. But notice verse 95, his situation hasn't changed. The wicked wait for me to destroy me. The enemies haven't disappeared. COVID isn't gone in 2021. It's still here. So is he busy mounting a counter-offensive against his enemies, aiming to get them before they get to him? Has he descended into some kind of permanent despair and depression? Not at all. Verse 95, The wicked wait for me to destroy me, but I shall diligently consider your testimonies. Or to put it into today's language, we might say, well, the borders are looking a bit shaky. There's a new strain of COVID. I'm not sure about what my employment's going to be this year. My health's starting to pack up. I'm feeling pains that I haven't felt before. I'm feeling my age. Those things are still there. Trouble swirls around me, but I'm anchored in your word, which is fixed. It's solid, as opposed to just about everything else, or certainly everything around us. See, this psalmist, he's like a wise man. Well, he is a wise man. He's like a wise man who's built his house upon a rock. And when the storms and when the floods come and the winds blew, that house, which was his life, didn't fall because it had been founded on the rock. And so right here in the middle, or near the middle of Psalm 119, the psalmist has had his prayer answered, and he can carry on living in the midst of all of the trouble around him because he remembers that God's word is fixed forever. So what about you this afternoon? What about you and your situation? Your life is changing, as mine is, as we all are. It's ebbing and it's flowing. Some days are better than others. Things happen. You and I are like ships at sea, prone to being tossed around by waves, driven against harsh coasts and rocks by strong currents. You can throw an anchor out of your boat, but it won't help you unless that anchor grips onto some solid ground. And the anchor that the psalmist found is the anchor that we also have in Christ. It's the anchor of the living word. There's that hymn that we'll sing shortly. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. We can't see him. We can't touch him. Our connection, our communion with him is by the instrument of faith. And it was the same for this psalmist. Because we, brothers and sisters, this afternoon, like him, are children of God. And that brings us to our second point. The Lord's child is saved forever. I think my wife's favorite illustration, and I know I've used this before, so you may well have heard it, is the illustration of the sausage and the hammer, which can be tried readily at home. You just take a simple sausage, and you take an ordinary hammer, and when you hit the sausage with the hammer, what happens? What's on the inside of the sausage comes out. Very simple. And that's what we see in this psalm. We see that what's on the inside of the psalmist comes out because he's under pressure. And what's on the inside is there in verse 93. I will never forget your precepts. Literally, forever, I will not forget. Or simply put, I will always remember. And what's happening here is that he is mirroring or following the pattern of the Lord's faithfulness. Because your word is fixed forever, this word which keeps all of creation functioning and which has been my own deliverance, so because of this, I will forever remember your word which has brought me life. You say, well, how can these words of God make any difference to the psalmist? He's still being hounded by these enemies. Yes, he is. How can the word of God make any difference to you or me, whether we're at the end of our tether, the limit of our endurance or not? And the answer's there in verse 94. It's the gospel in a nutshell. Again, if you have your Bible open, have a look. Verse 94, I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. That's a bold claim. I am yours. I, this persecuted, weak human being living on this world, which only keeps functioning because of the ongoing instruction of your word, I belong to you. Where on earth did he get that idea from? He must have got it from God's word. God said it. Many places. Then I will take you for my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. Exodus 6, 7. The covenant promise of God, which confirms to people that they belong to him. And he delighted in this word, which he knew was fixed and sure. And so his personal experience of the reality of this word in his own life confirms that he is one of these covenant people of God. He's found the anchor in his life to be in God's word that holds him fast. By faith, he's found Christ. He's found Christ, the keeper of the covenant. He's found Christ in whom Abraham's faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. I am yours, save me, for I have sought your precepts. It's not that he belongs to God because he sought the precepts, the word of God. It's rather that the desire to seek out and live out the ways of the Lord confirm that he is in God. His works of righteousness demonstrate his saving faith. And so here's the cry of the child of God who is saved but knows that he needs to continue to be in that state of deliverance. Save me. He knows that God has saved him and trusts that God will keep him saved forever. And so what he's finding here is assurance of salvation in God's word. God-given faith enables him to believe God's covenant promises are true to him. And so we're not in that situation. I don't think we are, most of us. Not being pursued almost to destruction by those who would persecute us with falsehood. And yet, like the psalmist, we are prone to be subverted with a lie, caught in carefully concealed pits that have been dug for us. And who would seek to trap us? Satan, the devil, the enemy we heard about again this morning, the great deceiver. There in the garden, what does he do? He casts doubt on this word of God. Did God really say? And there behind the liars, behind the slanderers, behind the proudful who are attacking the psalmist is Satan, the father of lies. And so as again we heard this morning, the battle that we have is not against flesh and blood. It's not against other people ultimately, but it's against the dark forces of wickedness. And so the psalmist knew that he'd been revived in this spiritual battle by God's word. The covenant promises of God were not forgotten. He'd observed that even the best, the truest, the most secure things in this world have their limits. Who would have thought, say a week ago, that the United States of America, a great superpower, that such an event would occur? Even things that appear to be secure in this world ultimately aren't. None of them. Our closest friends and family won't always be there. Either we'll go or they'll go first. We can't hang on to our wealth, our status, our skills forever. And the psalmist understood this reality as he observed the world around him, and he understood the nature of God's word. And he said, or wrote in verse 96, I've seen a limit to all perfection. Your commandment is exceedingly broad. God is without limits. His word is infinitely full of riches which can never be exhausted. The salvation of God has no bounds. And so salvation is not of a limited duration. It's forever. And so it really is true. Once saved, always saved. And that's the core truth that the psalmist understood in this section of the psalm. And we know so much more than he did because we have the complete scripture from beginning to end. And so when the psalmist writes in faith, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. That is to say, by your word, you have given me life. We know how this forever life comes. We know how we belong as children of his fixed promises. We know that we too are to forever not forget. We know that when Christ instituted the Lord's Supper, the first Lord's Supper, he said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Christ was saying, don't forget. Don't forget. Don't ever forget. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ says those words in verse 94. I am yours. Save me. I have sought your precepts. Verse 93. I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. Forever is a very long time. It's forever. It's a time without end. And our future forever begins, our future forever begins at this moment. And so be assured this afternoon that God's children are saved forever by faith in Christ alone. God has said it. His word is fixed. It is so. And it always will be. These are truths that you know and I know. But the Lord puts it before us in his living word that we be reminded and strengthened in this. For the times are likely to come in the next short while or longer while when we will be sorely pressed in various ways in our lives. May we remember and forever not forget the everlasting word of the Lord, which sustains the creation and saves people like you and me by Christ's work. Amen.